Amen. What would you say today? I am thankful you are my healer. You are true. That you are God. He is what we need today. Amen. Praise his name. How many of you have been involved in a building project? A few tired hands go up. You know what kind of work is involved in a building project? I don't want to make it sound like my dad was a taskmaster or a villain or anything, but man, he put me to work early. Look at him shake his head. He put me to work early when I was about 10, I think, the earliest that I can remember. I was on the job with him, and he'd shake me in the mornings and get me up and say, I'll feed you if you'll work all day. And I said, okay. And so he'd put me to work, and I'd go to work and start, you know, preparing woodwork for finishing. You know, I'd vacuum the woodwork, and then he'd give me a little bit of putty, and he'd show me how to put putty in the nail holes, and I'd do all this for 25 cents an hour. I know it sounds like a lot, but I was worth every penny. It's exciting when there's building going on. It's exciting when we see walls going up and windows going in, and we see carpet going down, and we see what that is. It means that there's something happening. It means that God is up to something. Amen? Been involved in a few building projects over the years, and I know how exciting it is for the family when they can't wait to get into the room or addition or renovation that we've been a part of, because they want to resume life in a new context, amen, in a brand new renovated context. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'll be picking up with my series this morning, The God of Re. I just wonder which Re has really impacted you. Let me know about it. In the next week or so, I'd just love to hear how this message is impacting you where you live. I too want to add my greetings to my wife, Jeanette, watching online this morning. She's had this respiratory thing for about a month, never had a fever, but it just will not let go, and she hasn't really slept for about 3 nights. So she's home today and greeting us online. And as well as Brad. Brad, I know you're there this morning. And Tracy, and I know others as well. Todd, who am I missing? D'Alberto, I'm so glad that you all are with us this morning, and others that we haven't met yet online. I see that you've been joining us from different states, and especially from Sterling. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, I'm just going to turn there. Brad is really quick on the draw, and we're learning some new program back there. So I'm going to turn to it, and verse 2 goes like this. He saw at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Verse 3. He got into the boat, one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come to them and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Jesus' ministry was expanding. You're going to catch a couple themes in the scriptures that we're going to talk about today. Jesus' ministry was growing. If you could say they were in a building project, it wasn't with 2x4s and 16-penny nails. It was rather, they were in a organizational building, ministry building project. It's really interesting when you see in Luke that Luke records Jesus is growing his ministry. Not only are more and more people attending and more people coming, but he is also building the structure necessary for the weight of responsibility to be able to be maintained. Jesus' ministry was growing for a couple of reasons. Number one, people loved to be around him, and I think that was mostly because he was just fun to be around. He loved people, amen? And that's something we can do, amen? Even if we cannot do a lot of other things as far as like skilled things that we look at those who are really skilled in different areas and say, wow, I wish I could do that. We can all love people, amen? And it just requires that our hearts are right and that love will flow through. And I know that Jesus loved people and people felt that. And whenever people are loved, they want to be around. Amen. People were becoming eager to follow him. Now, up till this time, of course, this was early in Jesus' ministry. Up to this time, he was the point. He was the one. He was the one that was doing the miracles. He was the one that everybody wanted to come and see and hear. He was developing followers, but they weren't ready to speak in his name yet. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Now, this was creating some logistical problems for Jesus' ministry. And if you look up there at Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44, this is right before the scripture that we just read about Jesus getting into the boat and everything. Let's look at just the pretext or the text before. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now, I want you to know, we understand how that feels. We weren't there at that time, but we know what it's like to be in a situation and with people that we never want to leave. We don't want them to have to go away. We want them to stay. I can remember how wonderful it was when I was little and I get to spend time with my grandparents. I just loved to be with them. And I was always kind of sad when it was time to go because I loved to be with them. And these people were experiencing that with Jesus. They loved to be with Jesus. And yet Jesus was doing something with his ministry that required that they grow and they change because his ministry was growing and changing as well. Everybody has to change. Jesus had come to save the world by sharing his message with the world. The fact is, Jesus was prioritizing preaching. Did you catch that? They wanted him to stay where he was, but he said, I must go and preach the word to the other towns. And so he continued preaching in the synagogues. Synagogues. In other words, people were like, do you really have to go now? And Jesus says, yep, I have to go. I know I'd love to stay, but I'm going to prioritize preaching, and I'm going to continue to move to town to make sure that the message gets out. Now, that didn't eliminate the people feeling like, but we wish you were here. They still wanted Jesus there. They wanted to touch him and feel him and hear his voice and And that's good. It's good. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he came to use you and me to do it. So let's dig in. John chapter 14, 12 says, "Very truly I say unto you, whoever believes in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father." It means that Jesus is going to hand the ball of ministry off to you and say, "I want you to go do what you have just experienced in my presence." Now, if that makes you shake a little bit, quiver a little bit, I get that. I really get that. Because we're like, "Well, who am I? I'm not qualified to speak in Jesus' name." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are. Because I'm going to make you qualified." It's true. Not in your flesh, you're not. Not in your own spirit. But I am going to make you qualified to speak in my name. Wow. I never get over the rush of ministry. I can't believe that Jesus would involve you and me in ministry like this, but he does. So Jesus is making some changes that required that he grew a team of people to do the work that he had been doing. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse 2. You're going to love this because I think this fits fits most of churches in America today. Did you know most churches are in America are somewhere under 70? And 70 is about the average, and there's like 3% of churches that are over like 1,000. And so we're kind of right in the middle of what the typical church in America is. And so we look at, "Lord, you've given us these visions, you've given us these dreams, you've given us these plans to change the world for you, God. Who are you going to send to do that? Who are you going to send from a far-off land, from a far-off town, from a neighboring town? Who are you going to send from my neighborhood? Who are you going to send so that we can do the work of ministry?" You're going to love this because here's what Jesus does. As Jesus begins to build his team, he looks around him and he goes, "There's one." And he looks at Simon, and Simon's got a boat. And he says, "Simon," and he engages him in ministry, just right there. And he says, "Simon, would you let me borrow your boat? In fact, would you be the captain of your boat and let me ride in it and take me out from the shore a little ways, and then I can speak to the people from a little ways out?" And that's what Simon agrees to. Now, here's the thing. Simon, I want you to kind of feel the wave with me. Okay, they're out there in the boat, all right, rolling on the water, rolling on the wave. We got this. And Simon is looking at Jesus, and Jesus is teaching the people. And Simon is saying, "Man, this is good stuff." He's loving this. He's loving what Jesus is doing in the lives of people, and something's starting to stir in his life. Okay, I'll quit. I know that's distracting, isn't it? But you're a little seasick. You need some Dramamine. All right. So, where are the people going to come from to do the work of ministry? Right here. Our district has an insane vision to plant some 250 churches by the year 2030 on this district. I know it's insane. It is. It's crazy. And for a little while on our district, like 20 years ago, we were like, "Okay, what districts can we go to and court, you know, particular leaders and say, all right, we're going to give you an incentive package to come and move and do what you've done over there right here." And you know what we realized? We'll never have enough money. We'll never have enough influence to do such a crazy thing, to think that we can transplant people from everywhere to do the work that should be happening right here. And so what we've decided was, just like this, where are the people going to come from to do the work of ministry? Right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, right here. You're already here. You are the ones Jesus is saying, can I get into your boat? Would you let me into your boat so that I can continue to do the work that God has called me to do? Isn't that exciting? So right here among us, family and friends. Now, Jesus began to involve Simon in ministry. Had a wonderful time with Raymond. Raymond and I went out to Lost Lake this morning. For those of you who don't know Raymond's story, I'm just going to give you just a little bit this morning. He's going to be going into the Army. This is his plan. We know that it's all up to God. But for now, this is the vision, this is the plan. Go into the military, the Army, and pursue a career as a chaplain in the Army. And we applaud that, and we believe in you, Raymond. So where are the people who are going to come from? Where are the people going to come from to do the work of ministry? Right here. Right here. Jesus began to involve Simon in ministry. Here's the thing. Ministry should be done together, because that's when it's fun. When we can do it with our family and our friends and have fun doing the work of ministry. To grow the work of God requires that we build a team. Now, I didn't play football in my high school career, but I played it in the backyard. So I am qualified to speak about football. When you receive the football from the quarterback and the play is that the quarterback is going to hand off the ball, somebody's got to be there to catch the ball, to receive the ball. That's what Jesus is doing in the life of Simon right now. He is passing Simon the ball. Now, Jesus, being the creator of the world, knew that structure and support of any endeavor must grow as the endeavor grows in size. Even prior to growth, the structure has to be in place. Otherwise, the structure cannot maintain and support the weight and responsibility of the growth. What happens in a church when people are not ready, when the church isn't ready to support the growth? People come and go. New people come and go. Come and go. What's happening? The base of leadership isn't big enough yet to support the new weight. So Jesus is looking at how he wants to expand his ministry because people are wanting more. And he says, guys, it's going to begin with you. He turns to his followers and he begins to point them out. It's going to happen with you. We see this in our bodies. He gives us bones that grow along with our body as we age. We see this in families. The time to build a nursery is before the baby comes. Amen. So the structure must happen before the baby arrives. Happens in governments and civic governments when the city leaders get together and say, let's create an industrial park so that when a company says, I need to push some product right now in this geographic location, what does the city do? The city says, let's prepare the ground with infrastructure now. Let's put the sewers in and let's build this thing so that a big place, a big factory can come in here. That's what we want. We want to employ. We want to get some jobs in here. Let's build the infrastructure. And then a company coming along and saying, I wonder where we could build. That looks like a really beautiful spot. But there's nothing there. There's no streets. It would take 5 years. Optimistically speaking, get that. Look at there. There's a town that appears to be like they've been planning for us all along. Sign me up. And 2 years later, they're pushing product out the door because the city has prepared for their arrival. Amen. The same is true for the church. I'm thankful that we have room to grow. I'm thankful that from the beginning we have been saying, let's get things done God's way. But it's time for us to realize that that means me and it means you. saying, yes, Lord, you can have my boat. You can have my car. You can have my home to do ministry in, because it's all yours anyway. Amen. Our capacity for growth is directly related to the margin we have created for growth. I don't want to bring back a bad memory, but you remember my tomato plant? Small pot, small plant. Little bit of fruit. Big pot, big plant, huge fruit. We have to create margin in our lives for this too. It means that we have to make room for God to do His work in and through us. We are the ones that He has appointed to do the work. I just think it's exciting, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Jesus was training and structuring to reach the entire world, and I love to be a part of a denomination, 35,000 churches strong today, where we are reaching into the world. From little old Living Well Church right here this morning, we're already reaching into the world, sending and supporting our missionaries. It's happening. As we increase the margin in our lives, we have room for new friendships, and that's where the work of ministry happens, is in relationships. Well, we do plan to grow. We're putting structures in place to be able to maintain our growth. Ministry that is based on one pastor will always be limited in what that church can do. If a church remains pastor-centric, a church can grow to about 100, and then because if there's no one else there to assume pastoral responsibilities and a pastoral presence, what happens? Well, people come, they don't get that sense of belonging or touch that they need spiritually, they may come and go, come and go, come and go. We used to call it in the old days, making sure we're closing the back door. Amen. Amen. All right. Here's where it gets real. Growth in our lives and growth as a church requires an increase in faith. Growth in our lives and growth in the church requires an increase in faith. All right, into the word here. Jesus discipled Simon by asking him to increase his faith. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. By the way, Skylar, you're doing a wonderful job back there. Got some big shoes to fill with your grandpa being gone this morning. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, okay, so here's the thing. Simon's been with Jesus in the boat. Jesus is teaching the people. And Simon's like, whoa, this is really good stuff. And then Simon looks to Jesus, and Jesus looks back at him, and Jesus says, let's go out. Let's put your nets in deeper water and see what happens. And Simon was like, Lord, seriously? We fished all night and caught nothing. But because of what I've just heard here while I've been in the boat with you, teaching the people, I'm going to increase my faith and do what you've asked me to do. That's okay. Let's see what happens. The results are yours, God. So he was tired. Can you hear me all the way back? He says, Lord, we've been out all night and caught nothing. Now I can just hear Simon saying, Lord, we're exhausted. We are tired. We have been working hard, but because you say so, okay. So I want you to hear Jesus in this morning, not your pastor. I want you to hear Jesus say, would you let me use your boat and go out into deep water and let the nets down? And you say, Lord, we're tired. But Jesus said, why don't we try it? So they go out. Cast the nets overboard. Old experienced Simon gets his hands around the net, and he says, okay, Jesus, see, I'm just going to show you the... Oh, my goodness. And the fish in the net, he couldn't begin to lift it. And in fact, he catches on fast, because he thought, who can I involve in this project? And he said, hey, James, John, his friends, his associates, his relationships. And he said, get over here. We got to get this, all these fish in these boats. And they brought their boat over. And the nets filled both boats to the point where they were about to sink. Simon caught it right away. What did he do? He asked for help. And then James and John were like, okay, amazing. All because Simon agreed to increase his faith. Simon reprioritized his life around the instructions of Jesus. And I want to invite you this morning. That's what we do every week. But around this specific context this morning, I want to invite you in this context of doing ministry and receiving the call of God in our lives to reprioritize our lives around Jesus' instructions. It's going to mean not doing some things that we've been doing. It means that in our lives as well, Jeanette and I. To do ministry, to have people in our home and things requires that we don't do some things and do some things so that we can continue to build relationships and continue to invite people and involve people in ministry. So the nets were so full that the boats began to sink. Simon immediately realized that the harvest that Jesus had in mind was larger than he had ever imagined. I want to be a part of that. That is what I want to be a part of. May not always be numbers, but whenever God is involved, it's always bigger than we can imagine. That's what I want to be a part of. And I believe that's the cry of every human heart. I want to be a part of something so big, so God-like, so God in it, so God everything, that it makes sense that this is why I'm on earth. Amen? So, immediately Simon realized the harvest was much bigger. By the way, I love this. It's larger than any one church. It's larger than any one denomination. It's larger than any one pastor. It's larger than any one church family. It's God embracing the world and saying, I love you. With you and me being the hands and feet of Jesus and the mouthpiece. Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together. Oh, what? Luke 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, four chapters later. When Jesus had called the 12 together. Well, you mean 2 wasn't going to be enough? 3 wasn't going to be enough? Now he's at 12? You're going to sense a theme here in a minute. He gave them power and authority to drive out the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That doesn't sound like Jesus is saying, I'm going to keep all the power to myself. He is empowering his leaders. And he says, I want you to do what I have been doing. Does that blow your mind or what? Now Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72. Oh, I think he's getting carried away, don't you? After this, he appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he's about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go. Go. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. And they were like, all right, let's go. You're going to give your lives for the sake of the gospel. And they were like, after what we've seen, let's go. Yes. Now, did you sense a pattern there? Simon, James and John, 12 and 72. What's Jesus up to? He's saving the world. It's the church. It's you and me. The most effective people and the most effective churches get this. Right here. We are here to be on Team Jesus, to fish for people and make disciples. So here's my title. The title of my message is Jesus Reassigns. Jesus Reassigns. By the way, I get reassigned every day. Because the world will pull me off course, and it only takes a half a degree to get me way off by the end of the day. So I get reassigned every morning when Jeanette and I do our devotions together. I get reassigned in what our priorities are. And we pray for effectiveness in ministry every day. And we pray that God will use the resources that we have and the talents that we have and the skills and gifts and abilities that we may have for His honor and glory, and that our time and our minutes as they accumulate, that they will add up for effectiveness for the kingdom. Would you allow Jesus to reassign you every morning? It's never too late to accept Jesus' reassignment. Isaiah 6:8, I'd like to ask our worship team to come. Isaiah 6:8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Luke 10:2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And you're going to love this next one. Verse 17. I want this too. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They were like, this is amazing. We want more. Verse 23. Then he turned to them privately and said, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. That's what I want for the rest of my life. Is to be involved in the work that Jesus is doing. And to receive a blessing like that, that I don't feel entitled to, but I've experienced it. To do the work that he has asked us to do. So there's various ways to respond to a message like this. And I hope that you understand that your response is not a response to me, but rather to Jesus. That would be what I hope would be clearly understood. One is to say, no, you can't use my boat, God. I'm not going to go out and fish. I'm tired. I've done this before. I'm weary, and you're going to have, it's not that I'm going to say no, Lord. It's just I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to give you my attention, because If I look at you in the eye, you're going to ask for my boat. And I just want you to look in Jesus in the eye and say, what can I give you today that will help you multiply your ministry? Amen. And for some, it's going to be your car, your boat, your house, your property, your fishing tackle, your career, whatever, Lord, you could use. I want to invite you in my boat, and I'm going to take you wherever you ask me to take you. And then Jesus will say, can I ask you to increase your faith now that I'm in your boat? Amen. And I'm going to ask you to fish according to my instructions. And I'm going to ask you to obey. I know it sounds absurd, but I'm going to ask you to do something in my name. And just leave the results to me. That's what I want. Amen. And I think that's what everybody is dying to engage in. So it requires a reprioritization to say yes to partnership with God. Would you bow in prayer with me? Lord, today, in a moment like this, we are reminded that you are very intent on using ordinary people like us to accomplish your work. Here we're fishermen, but you use them to change the world. Lord, help us, I pray, to raise our vision to not just our boat and the water, but help us to raise our vision to hear you speak and to just wait and welcome your instruction to just take us out a little further. And Lord, do whatever you want to do with the resources you've given me, because I give them to you. They're at your discretion, your disposal. Do with them, Lord, whatever you want to do, because I want to be involved in what you are doing, Lord. Bless, we pray. Bless our church with the structures we need to continue to grow. Bless us, Lord, with the newcomers that we are building for. Bless us, Lord, with disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. Lord, and it's not for us, it's for you, Jesus. We love you and thank you for involving us in ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. What a message this morning. Anybody blessed this morning by the message? Feeling a little convicted, maybe? Will you stand and proclaim this song with us?
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that He will rise again. I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. forever seated high.
Sing it out, church.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion. And in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Mike, we're praying for your dad. And yep. So happy to hear the good news, the good report. My dad, just 2 years ago, went through the same thing, triple bypass. Your dad had quadruple. We're praying for him. Yep, lifting him up. Father, thank you today that we can come together in agreement that what you are doing is always good. So we pray for Mike's dad. Lord, we lift him up and we ask you, Father, to bring the healing processes in place. And Lord, we know that he will give you praise and glory for his healing. Yes. Be his healer now, we pray in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. So tonight we're having the Community Lenten service. You're going to want to come early. Last year we had a full house. And that's at 6 o'clock. So we need to do a little bit of preparation. Don't take the chairs out in the back because we're gonna leave them here and prepare for the food distribution after the service so you can leave them there. We are gonna need to take, I'm gonna speak out of turn here because I'm not fully involved in how we're setting up back there. It's okay, you got it? Okay. Okay, all right. So let's set up six or seven tables back there, the round tables like we normally set up here. Let's set them up over there in the cafe area. And I think we'll pull like these chairs from over here in there. Or no, let's leave these and wait until after the service, and then we're gonna need to take these chairs and put them around the table. So right now, just the tables, that would be good. The other announcements, Jeanette said I sent them to you, but I didn't find them in my phone. So they're in your bulletin. Beautiful bulletin this week. Make sure you read that one about the puzzle. That was really good, that little article in there about the puzzle. That was really good. Thank you, Mark, for the bulletin that you make every week. Next Saturday is extravaganza with the kids from, I think, 10:30 to 11, something like, or 10:30 to... Anyway, it's in your bulletin. Just read your bulletin. It's in there. Yep. All right. Let's sing.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye
Heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Hope to see you tonight.
Yes.